Support us by supporting our sponsors. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order.
You're Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
My name is Joe DiBiase. I should probably be thinking about the Bills and football on a regular basis right now, but for 24 hours, all Sabres upstairs. All Sabres in my brain upstairs.
And I'm Jordan Hanskin, and I'm thinking of how Eric Staal would react about questions about Henrik Kalander tomorrow.
Ooh, well, you got to get in on that call and ask him. You got to ask him, what was the challenge of going up against a Tony Ludman back in the day? What was the challenges that a Tony Ludman presented? Yes, we're recording this on, for everybody's information, Thursday night. And Friday morning, 11:30, Eric Staal will be speaking with the media. And Jordan, that should probably put to bed any of this retirement rumors that are floating around social media.
Yeah, I guess that could all change if he's like, oh, this team, you know, goes through like a little bit of training camp. He could be like, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good with this. No, but seriously, it seems like he's more okay with it than I previously thought. I saw the Pierre LeBrun piece talking about how why the Sabres weren't on Staal's no trade list, and he thought that there was no chance that he would go to a team like the Sabres. But yeah, I think overall it's a good trade. We gain some cap space with the move, and I think that I know Johansson's younger, but
I don't think either one are in long-term plans, so I'm not even sure that matters.
Right, I agree. I don't think it overall matters, and you just get another guy that still plays at a productive level. I mean, for 35, he was pretty good. Yeah, and it's I know you hate this, but it's another winner in the room.
Oh my god, another winner in the room, as if 06, like it was his doing, and not that Jay McKee didn't wash his socks properly. But you're right. Like, hey, I will be the first person to line up and throw things at you if you're going to tell me that a guy should be acquired because he's a strong presence in the locker room and he's going to show these young bucks how to win. Like, I'm not for any of that. But when you have the production on the side and you have the production really being the driving force to me as to why he'll be an improvement over what you had at second line center. And then at extra, he is a leader and he's respected. Like, he's Eric Staal. Like, those like Dylan Cousins is going to be in the locker room. He's going to be like, well, that's Eric Staal right there. I'm playing with Eric Staal now. And I feel like that could be something. Like, that could be a good thing, even though I will make fun of the fact that the winning that he experienced was because the Sabres had injuries. But he did. And by the way, I don't want to crap on his career too much, but Carolina had like the longest playoff drought in hockey before the Sabres had theirs. So, you know, he wasn't this big winner forever. He won as a young player and then missed the playoffs like 8 years in a row.
You know what this trade reminds me of, though, is when we traded for Pominville back.
Okay.
Well, because it was in Minnesota. I mean, the connection's kind of loose. I mean, yeah, the Minnesota connection's there, but it's trading for the veteran leader that's still pretty productive, that's getting cheaper. That's the way I see it, and I think it's overall it's a good move. I think Johansson was not a super fit. I think it was very frustrating when he's really a winger and they're gonna put him at, they kept putting him at center. And while that versatility is kind of nice, I think that he actually weakened the center group just because that's not his natural spot, not by anything that he did, but it's not his natural spot. And I think that having Eric Staal there for a year, for a team that's desperate to win games, you got to hope that it should give them a better chance.
Yeah, we'll talk more about some of the other factors that this trade has. There's a lot. There are the cap ramifications, which are good ramifications for the Sabres. We also haven't spent time yet talking about the reports of the Sabres having an internal cap. So we'll bring that up as well. But lots more on the Eric Staal trade. Dylan Cousins' role in all of this. Kevin Adams had something to say on Dylan Cousins when he was asked about him today. And then later in the show, we've got a couple of former Sabres hired as assistant coaches in Rochester. And there's a couple of interesting things to talk about with them as we progress. Before we do any of that, though, before we get full speed ahead here in the Locked On Sabres podcast, I want to take a minute to talk to you about Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction is not easy. It's not. Usually we just brush it off, blame ourselves, saying like I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like I'm tired or I had a long day at work. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is easy. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL and complete an online visit. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. Joe DiBiase, Jordan Hanskin, back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. So we started off with the Eric Staal trade, and we talked about it, like your first reaction to it. You could check out the crossover edition of the Locked On Sabres, Locked On Wild episode that I did with the guys from Locked On Wild last night. You could check that out on our feed if you missed it. More in-depth on what Minnesota is thinking here. And I want to get your take on that, because honestly, the guys at Locked On Wild didn't really know what Minnesota is doing here. But I want to put that question to you. Like, what are the Wild doing? Because in one respect, I could imagine, like, if you wanted Johansson to play on the wing and you thought, oh, I'm really strong, a team that's really strong at center would move a guy like Eric Staal for Marcus Johansson, who's a good 40 to 50 point winger, if they needed a guy to play on the wing. But Minnesota's weaker at center maybe than the Sabres are. Like, Joel Eriksson-Ek is their number one center, and Staal was their number two. You take him out, and Mikko Koivu, by the way, is a free agent, and there's talk that he might be done with the team. He's old anyway, like 38. So Minnesota, maybe they're just starting over down the middle. But the report from Michael Russo was that they want Johansson to play center. And that just seems like if Eriksson-Ek and Johansson are your one and two at center, I don't know what Minnesota's doing. Did you have any thought as to like what their motivation is?
Could it be like just like a miscalculated hockey trade? Like Minnesota thinks that he might just fit better? I mean, that's kind of a cop out to the question, I know. But
maybe he's a playmaker.
They might actually think that. They might think that Johansson does fit the lineup better. I don't think there's any other reason they would do it besides the fact that they do get 5 years younger. It's really just those two things, because like the cap hit surprisingly is beneficial for the Sabres. I don't really get it. From their perspective, I think that the Sabres, at least initial thoughts, is that the Sabres won the trade.
Yeah. I wonder, you mentioned like play, like style maybe might be a reason. Like Staal is more of a goal scorer at this point in his career. Johansson's a puck carrier and a playmaker. So maybe that's what Minnesota was thinking. And you mentioned their age. If they think Johansson, if they want to lock him up, I could see someone wanting to give Marcus Johansson like a 3-year contract for $4 million or 4.5 what he's making now. Like, I don't think that's completely unreasonable. He's 30, going to be 30 years old. And Staal, I mean, 1 year left. No one's trying to lock up Eric Staal in a long-term deal at this age. So I guess that could be it if they see Johansson as a long-term answer. But I don't know, man. Concussion issues, 30 years old. I mean, that's a tough sell for me. Minnesota has always been the team also that like they go out and acquire players that are kind of good at everything, but do they ever get a guy who's like got this special ability? Like, and that kind of makes them almost a boring team to me.
Even their big free agency acquisitions was Ryan Suter and Zach Parise, who are just like really solid players. You know, sure. You're not really getting, you know, the elite shot, elite hands, elite speed. Is kind of getting Yeah, they're going to be steady guys. That was their big free agency summer. Yeah, their team is just full of mediocrity or a little bit above mediocrity because they are a consistent playoff team, but they never really do anything when they're there.
Right, exactly. All right, enough on the Wild. More on Staal as a player and maybe what he means to the lineup. I'm looking at his stats, and I'm sure you've looked at them too since he's been traded. 65, 76, 52, and 47 are his point totals with the Wild. I'm looking at that 2018-19 season a lot as an expectation for what he could do with the Sabres. That's his age 34 season. It's following a career year in shot percentage. In 2018, he had 17.5% shot percentage, which led to a 42-goal season. He follows it up the next year with 22 goals, 30 assists, 52 points, or much closer to his average for his career at 10.2 as a shot percentage. And I think you might agree with me that I would not expect 76 points out of Eric Staal this year. I'm not going to completely say it's not going to happen, but I'm not expecting that. But at the same time, like a 52 point season, which by the way, this past year, 47 points in 66 games. If the season finishes out, he's probably going to have even a better product output this past season than he did 2 years ago. But like that's almost like a good baseline. 52 points for a second line center. Like to me, the Sabres filled. Like if you told me he will have that, then I'll say, oh, the Sabres have a perfect second line center for the season.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. If you told me 52 points right now, I'd sign on above the dotted line. It really just depends on who he plays with. I imagine we'll get into the guys that they'd probably want to play with him. I imagine our other former Hurricane would be top of the list. That 52 is a good move. And especially if he can boost the stats of one Mr. Jeff Skinner.
Yeah, and they played together, I think, 6 seasons in Carolina. So if that's a pair, and actually, I believe Ralph Kruger many times, he hasn't spoken yet in this offseason, but many times he has said he wants one top line that doesn't change. And last year, that was Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, and Victor Olofsson. So let's assume that going into next year, that's going to be a line. They sign Reinhart to whatever contract that becomes, or maybe they don't. I mean, he could be a part of this conversation. But going into next year, if your top 6 is Eichel, Reinhart, Olofsson, then Staal, Skinner, and insert name here, suddenly I think our conversations about the offseason have changed. I don't know if we're talking about the Sabres acquiring Ryan Nugent-Hopkins anymore. I don't know if we're talking about them going out and signing Mikael Granlund in free agency. To me, the Staal trade now sets up for a conversation about who are some good second-line wingers that you could bring in here and complete the top 6. And that's kind of what they did in this trade, is just flipping their depth. So they might have a bigger hole now on the wing than they did before, assuming Johansson was going to slide to the wing. But again, that's a good thing, but it kind of changes the names I think we talk about.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think obviously moving Reinhart is not, to me at least, is not even as much of a priority. It's just not as much of a priority, because you would think that you would need to move like a really good winger to get a really strong center. Probably a winger that's better, that might be a little bit better skill-wise than the center to get that second line center. We got kind of, it's more of a rental second line center. You're getting him for maybe a year or two. But it does fill the gap, and it allows there's less pressure now on someone like Dylan Cousins to have to step in right away and fill those minutes. If you might be able to let him play, if he does make the team, let him play like 17, 18 minutes instead of, 20, 22. I think that it just gives the Sabres a lot more flexibility. Wings, scoring wingers and offensive wingers are usually easier to find. Sure. And I don't know how this year's free agency is lining up, but I think that just makes the Sabres a lot more versatile.
Yeah, we'll have plenty more time to talk free agent wingers for sure. The Sabres save about the $1.25 million on their salary cap. And the real money, if you look at the base salary, which I think we have to now look at just because of like the Pegulas and all the talk about like an internal cap, they save $1 million. So Eric Staal gets paid $3 million. His cap hits 3.25. Johansson was going to get paid $4 million, and his cap hit was 4.5. So we'll spend... I'm sure we'll have a more lengthy conversation on this at some point, but quickly on the idea of an internal cap, I wonder if the reaction on social media that we saw when the report came out that the Sabres would have an internal cap was overblown. Because not the reaction itself, but the idea of them having an internal cap, because now there's reporting that as many as 17 teams will have an internal cap or considering an internal cap next season because of all the financial ramifications that the NHL, a largely gate driven sport when it comes to revenue, is going to suffer for next season. So where do you stand on that? Are you accepting the idea that the Sabres won't spend to the salary cap next season?
I'm disappointed in it. You know, it does go against the idea, that Terry Pegula's sole purpose was to win the Stanley Cup. But I do think it's a realistic thought, and I don't think it's necessarily the worst idea. Arguably the worst offseason the Sabres had was when they decided to spend the cap when the value wasn't really there. So if they feel that it would be a decent idea to, you know, have the internal cap, wait until, you know, things get more back to normal, maybe make some money the next year at the gate. I doubt that it's like a long-term thing, right? I think it's something that the league is just doing as a whole. I mean, the cap, I assume the salary cap is going to stay the same. That's how it's kind of been in the other sports. So they're just kind of keeping it locked up, which puts more teams like the Leafs in a hell of a load of trouble. Whereas the Sabres, they're going to be in pretty prime position to scoop up players that these teams that went for the cup can't keep around. I was also thinking, this is a little bit on topic, with the added salary or gained salary cap space. Like, I think it opens up the Sabres to maybe keep that fourth line together. I think we talked a little bit about, you know, guys like Zemgus Girgensons or Johan Larsson especially, that might want to go somewhere else. Sabres, $1 million might, an extra $1 million would maybe incentivize that, like Larsson at least. He's the one I care more about and would rather keep around to stay here. I think that's something that could be boosted. I imagine the Sabres are just going to try to keep their guys and not be massive free agency spenders.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think I thought about that $1 million in free agency terms, but you're right. Like, maybe they just use it to try to lock up Johan Larsson. I'd be okay with that. Even Girgensons, but to a lesser extent, you're right. Because I do want to see Larsson back on this team next season. Even though they're stronger at center now with Eric Staal, I still do want to see Larsson back on this
team. Just for the role. I mean, he's perfect for that specific role.
Exactly. All right. Before we get into who's now the assistant coaches of the Rochester Americans, a quick word for rockauto.com. If I was out right now and something happened to my car, I am going right to rockauto.com. It's so easy to use. The prices are perfect. It's everything you're looking for. They got everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, they got everything you need in a few easy clicks, and they're all delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog's unique, remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your car or vehicle, your car or truck. Choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Stanley Cup Finals is just around the corner. Football season started. You ever have a watch party and nobody can decide on what to eat? You want Chinese, they want pizza, and someone is craving Froyo. There's something for everyone on DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities we operate in safe and sound. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNHL. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNHL. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNHL for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Welcome back to the Locked On Sabres podcast. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe WGR, Jordan Hanskin at JR Hanskin, Mike Weber, and Adam Mayer are now the assistant coaches of the Rochester Americans. That's right. The youth and the development of the Sabres' most important prize possessions in their prospect pool are now under the guidance and tutelage of Adam Mayer and Mike Weber. Two individuals that, you know, were known throughout their careers as like the leadership type, both more gritty grinder level players. As players, were they likable players to you growing up?
They're fine. I think like it got worse and worse with each of them because I think they just kind of wore out their welcome, right? Like, Their guys is like, why does this guy keep coming back? But I didn't mind him. I actually really liked Mike Weber when he first came into the league because fighting was still kind of a thing, and Mike Weber was, you know, that gritty kind of healthy scratch defenseman that came in when like sparingly, and then would just like fight a guy. And Adam Mayer, you know, decent fourth liner, part of a big moment in sports, but like. Yeah, I don't. Those guys, for some weird reason, they make good coaches. Usually, that seems to be like the coach mold is the gritty, tough
the gritty guy.
Yeah, like I think that they make good coaches. They probably know the game a lot better than their skill level is. I think that a lot of guys like that, they don't make it to the NHL unless they're pretty smart players. So I don't really mind it. And it's, you know, they're assistant coaches of Rochester. That's where you start. And who knows? Maybe one of them will end up being worthy of the Sabres mantle.
Careful.
They got work to do, but I think it's exciting. I did get a strong like Miracle the Movie vibes between these two. I was wondering which one do you think's the Herb and which one do you think's the Craig Patrick?
Ooh. Oh, Mike Weber is the Herb for sure.
Adam Mayer's there with the whistle.
Yes, definitely. I think you're the first person ever, by the way, to use the phrase gritty, healthy scratch guy as a compliment. but that just happened.
I like a good, healthy scratch guy.
One other thing Nathan to come Page. Out of. Yes. Who is still on the Amherst, by the way. How about that? Adam Mayer is going to be coaching Nathan Pache. This is 2020, baby.
What a world.
Real quick, Mike Weber today when meeting with the media, he went talking about his career as a Sabre and like what he's learned like as a player, and he was talking about like ups and downs. Like I was on some really good teams at the beginning of my career, some playoff level teams. Then you even learn some stuff while you're on some not so good teams, like in the tank. He used the tank. He used the phrase the tank, and I think that's the first time I've ever heard a Sabre player. Or anyone in the Sabres organization, and Weber would fit both categories right now as a former player that was in that season and now as a member of the organization. He's on the Rochester coaching staff using the phrase the tank. Like am I making too much of it? Like that he made he was meaning to say that.
I'm amazed that he's the one that said it. He is probably the focal point of the most wild moment of the tank.
Oh, he was pissed.
The standing ovation when he got a penalty with 2 minutes to go against the Coyotes.
Yes. That was bad.
That was the moment that made the tank be the it hit, pardon the interruption, around the horn. All the big ESPN stuff when hockey can't even touch it unless a guy does like a lacrosse goal.
Right, exactly. Right. All right. Well, Mike Weber and Adam Mayer, good Godspeed to them on the Rochester Americans coaching staff underneath Seth Appert. They're in charge of the Sabre prospects now. One fun fact on Mike Weber before we get out of here. Mike Weber in 2017 was traded at the deadline for a third round pick. He only played those final like 20 games with Washington. Then that was the end of his career. Pretty good trade for the Sabres, you know, for a deadline acquisition. They turned that third round pick into Oskari Laaksonen, who's been actually pretty promisingly developing over in Finland. He's probably going to come over at some point in for Rochester. So Weber probably going to coach the guy that was traded for So we'll see how that goes. But thanks everybody for listening to today's show, and check out our crossover, as I mentioned, that I did yesterday with the guys from Locked On Wild. And we'll be back talking to you in the next couple of days. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.